Former NHLer. Now also writes at OilersNation.com. And I did not know this, but also you and Struds, Huey and Dewey show every day at Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
Do you guys get any instructing done when you're together?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we try to one-up each other.
Oh, yeah.
He'll go say something.
Just imagine
he'll go say
it.
Go teach the kids something. I go, oh, I nailed that one. No, you know what? I don't work with Struds too much because there's like two or three different groups each day. So they try to spread us out, but there's been a few times where we've come together, reminisce.
Nice. How's your coaching skills?
Good. Good. Yeah. It's been fun. I really enjoy working with the kids.
Are you more of a Carlisle or a Tippett?
No. I'm pumping everybody's tires and trying to pick my spots where to teach and whatnot, but trying to be more positive and push that side of things.
A lot of the kids nowadays are ridiculous just how more advanced they are at a young age.
It's ridiculous. There was a kid last time I was out, skated by him. He goes, can you do this? And did the old like Corey Perry, Robbie Shrimp, pick the puck up. He's probably, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. Started wheeling around just like Perry and Shrimp used to do on the goalie. Like, I can't even pick the puck up like that. Now, I never tried it really. It wasn't a thing when I was... And by the time I was in the NHL, it was sort of a thing, and you'd never use it, so I never tried to put it into my small bag of tricks. But
well, that's where you should pull out the line, hey, buddy, Rob Shrimp and Linus Omark aren't in the NHL, okay?
Just crush them.
Yeah, they can do those moves.
Beat
it doesn't help you.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, yeah, the stuff that they do, the through the legs, all that stuff, the mitts on these kids nowadays is crazy.
Yeah, it is... It's ridiculous. Speaking of crazy, Storms, do you ever notice, I'm just going to go off track for a second, do you ever notice probably once a week, our good buddy Ray, who runs all of our email, always tells, oh, the fire alarm's back up. Like, if we ever have a fire in the building, I don't think it's ever going to work. Like, that fire alarm is down every second day.
Well,
it's
do
hilarious.
You remember, was it, I think it was around this time last year, maybe it was in the summer, that every morning we got one saying that the fire alarm panel was offline, and every day at around 4 o'clock, you got another one saying that it was back online for the night.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was getting, I know UConn Jack was losing his mind at this, and I think he sent out like a mass email saying that he didn't want to hear about it anymore, but of course it's a safety issue. You should know if there, you know, in case there is a fire.
Well, our windows, you can't even jump out of these windows unless you break them. Like, they're all sealed in. You can't open the window. I think, you know, we might have to take this out of the labor board. I don't think this is proper safety work conditions.
Well, and then it wasn't too long ago that the whole building was evacuated, too, for a fire.
I was on location that
day.
Yeah,
it wasn't a fire. It was a toaster.
Yeah, morning show. Huey and Dewey and Louie in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their toaster caught on fire, and the whole building had to be evacuated.
Awesome. Like the CTV side, side, all
they
the radio stations.
No. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, they should have, right? Yeah.
I think only a few fire trucks showed up, though, so it wasn't a complete waste of everybody's money or time.
Yeah. And Storms was rattled because she wasn't here when the firemen were here.
Right? Like, if you're going to burn toast, at least do it between 2 and 6.
Yeah, true. Very true. Let's talk. I think Babcock has been switching up the lines too much. Everybody's talking about trying to get chemistry. How about leave it together for more than one game? What do you think?
I think so, too. We talked a little about that on Friday. And in such a short tournament, guys have to get comfortable with one another. And part of that is playing together. When you practice together for one skate, 30, 40 minutes, and then go try and play a game with guys you've never played with before, it can be tough. I think they should have used these games. Obviously, you're going to have to mix and match maybe one or two guys, but it seems like there's been a lot more than that. Almost every line has juggled guys around. I think they really would have been better off trying to use these tune-up games to really get everyone to understand how guys play, where they're going to go, because so much of playing with guys is and learning about them over time is where they're going to go. What are their tendencies? What do they like to do with the puck? Do they want to just go behind the net? Are they cycle? Are they rush? Where do they want it? It's all about learning about the guys you play with. And you can see that that's how they built the team. They wanted to try to have pairs. But I think, you know, I would have liked to have seen them batten down the hatches and go with a certain line at most of the time.
What are your thoughts on Chris Kunitz? He seems to be the lightning rod. Evidently, Kunitz not scoring with Crosby is the reason Crosby's not performing. Corey Perry's done nothing so far, right? So what do you think about Chris Kunitz? Is he just the easy whipping boy?
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I was a guy that I thought he should have been on this team from the beginning just because of his relationship with Crosby. And I know people will say, well, anybody can score with Crosby and whatnot, but... at the Olympics in 2010, aside from the golden goal, if he didn't score that or Canada didn't win, it was going to largely fall on Crosby's shoulders because he wasn't contributing as much as he probably should with his line mates. So that's why Kunitz is here, because in the NHL, he's fifth in the NHL in scoring, playing with Crosby. So he's good enough to play with Sid. He's good enough to be one of the best players in the NHL right now beside him. And I just think, there's so many other guys not producing right now. They've only, three forwards have scored.
Yes.
Carter scored three of them. I mean, it's far more than just Chris Kunitz and going back to the Olympics before Crosby's, for whatever reason, in the Olympics to date, struggled a little bit, 5-on-5. You knew this was going to happen, though, if things weren't going well, that Chris Kunitz would likely be the whipping boy. But I think it's all just that.
Yeah, I like the fact that they put Kunitz back with Crosby.
Yeah.
Right? You got to stick, I think, with your plan. They've got three defense pairings that they like. Subban and Hamus aren't a part of it.
Yep.
And whether we like it or not, I think PK Subban should dress. But ultimately, if he's not in the top six, really arguing if he's the seventh guy probably doesn't make a major difference, because Mike Babcock even admitted that those guys haven't really got an opportunity, and they're not going to get one now. You're not going to change up. They like their three pairings. They like the left-handed and the right-hand pairings, so they're going to stick with it.
Yeah, I would like to see PK draw in. We talked about that before with just his skill set, and even in a game like Finland, in a close game like that, maybe being able to go to him, he could try to generate something. But Babcock said it, and I don't mind it at all. He's got his pairs. They're sort of set in stone. And you roll with them, and hopefully he can sort of do that with the forward lines going forward.
Ryan Sutherby joined. Yeah, they have to, I think. And really, it can change overnight. After game one, everyone wanted Jeff Carter benched, and all he did was score three goals in 9 minutes the next game. So, what about the fact that, I guess we can say they got a break not having to face the Swiss, but if the Swiss can't beat Latvia, they weren't that good anyway. I didn't think it was a big deal. Some think the Swiss would have been a little bit harder of a test. Does it matter that they'll play Latvia tomorrow, likely spank them, and then have played three or four games against significantly inferior opposition?
I don't think so. Okay. Sure, the Swiss probably would have played a game much like the Finns and made it hard to score. The team that they're going to play against in the semifinals, likely the U.S., who knows if they get past, I think it's the Czechs they're playing. They're not going to play quite that style of hockey that the Finns or Swiss would play. So, and to be honest, it's going to be the semifinals. Canada-US, you can't not get up for that game. I don't think that it's going to make much of a difference. They've played together now for a week and a half, played several games together, and they'll be raring to go versus those guys.
Yeah, I think when those games come, it's easy to get ramped up. It's Canada, U.S. I think everybody's expecting it. I know now the Czech Republic's still there, and I guess upsets have happened before. Anything's possible. I think there's more likelihood of that happening than Canada losing to Latvia. So Canada now really probably has the easiest draw of everybody, at least in the quarterfinal. Then once you get to the semis, if all the favorites win, Russia, Sweden, U.S., Canada, you're going to have to play two of those three at some point anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it necessarily matters. All it does is it guarantees us a Canada-US game, which for me right now is a bigger rival.
Yeah.
They're a bigger rival. Canada-US right now is a bigger rival to me. It's been a long time since, Canada-Russia have really had to battle going back. Like, and I love that rivalry in the 80s and a little bit in the 90s, but it's basically now been since the 96 World Cup, I think Canada-US are the biggest rival from my perspective anyway.
Well, the U.S. is scary. I mean, they're a country that hockey-wise they've been coming on, and obviously in 96, and they just continue to make better hockey players, and it's so close nowadays that I really do hope they get past the Czechs. I mean, maybe not so much for Canada and their road, but that very well could be the gold medal game in the semifinal, to be quite honest. I mean, both those teams could easily have met in the final and have a chance to win gold. So I look forward to that game as well.
I look at the Americans, and I said at the start, when I look at their defense and I see Canada's forwards,
yeah,
I see a distinct advantage when they go head-to-head. And Canada's size of their forwards and skills against the American defensemen, I think in a game where you know it's going to be physical, not as much because it's on the bigger ice surface, I get it. Mm-hmm. I still think they have a really big advantage there.
You would think, you know, it's been interesting watching a lot of these teams play on the big ice and how they really just sort of crowd the net and play just in just such a defensive shell that it almost makes it hard for anyone to penetrate because there's four or five guys right in the house and to get anyone to the net, even with size. I know that I saw something today. They're trying to put Ben on the line with Getzlaff and Perry to really stack up size on that one line and let them sort of be the powerhouse line, it looks like. But you would think that yes, the forwards should definitely have that advantage. But it seems like a lot of teams, at least the European teams, have been very prepared for this ice, very prepared how to play defense and sort of keep good players and bigger players to the outside, and they've been tough to generate chances.
I've looked at some of the games, and I've like thought to myself, this is awful to watch.
Yeah,
like
gross
yeah. hockey. And I don't, like, basketball took zone defense, right, and outlawed it, basically.
Yep.
I don't know if you can do it in hockey, but I really wonder if there's something, because you're going to see this more and more. I'm a firm believer. You will see teams now in the NHL who are like, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to clamp down even more in front of the net and try to win games 1-0. Mm-hmm. Like boring hockey.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that it'll actually spread and you'll see more teams do it. Do you think there's any way, having played the game at that speed, and I know there's so many movements going on in mm-hmm. the defensive zone, is there a way to outlaw a certain type of zone defense, do you think?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I do know that teams have tried it, though, in the past, you know, on this sized ice. I remember my first year pro and second year pro, I spent a little bit of time in Portland, Maine with the Pirates in Washington system. And our head coach at that time, Tim Army, he was playing a very similar system to what you're seeing right now, like a 1-4 where you pretty much don't even pressure. You send one guy to the blue line, basically, and you got four guys lined up across yeah. your blue line. And that's how we played, and it was disgusting. And guys are, you know, at that time, you're prospects, and you're trying to develop and, you know, work on your skills in offensive games. So guys were not very happy with the system that we were playing. But I think you saw it a couple years ago, if you remember Boucher there in Tampa Bay. You remember when, I think it might have been Pronger, just stopped. He just held the puck for, yeah. and Tampa Bay didn't
yeah,
even
didn't
go
nothing.
At him.
That was
they
Boucher.
Just, yeah, and so, I mean, teams have tried to play that way, maybe not quite to the extent that they're doing right now, but it's certainly been tried, and you can argue whether it's been effective in North America or not.
Well, I hope it's never effective.
I agree.
Because it is revolting yeah. to watch as a hockey fan.
Well, look at the Swiss. I mean,
and I was so happy. They deserve to lose.
3-1 goal games.
Yeah. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Boring.
Yeah, I mean, terrible.
Yeah, like, Latvia yeah. outscored you.
Yeah.
In one game, the amount of goals you scored in the entire tournament.
No, and they had eight. I think, would Latvia have 18 or 19 shots? Like, they didn't.
No.
Could barely get through, but did enough.